down to. Amen. What a wonderful life, it said in the song there. Jeremiah chapter 5. As we've been looking at a series of messages on they are after you, and I told you the first week we wasn't going to tell you who they were, but then the following weeks we'll tell you who they are. First week we found out that the devil is a lion comes after you. He's a lion out of the forest. He's after you to get you. Then we saw the deceivers as leaders. It said a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. And we're going to reread verse 1 through 5 and then get into verse 6 again. It says, run ye, verse Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Sounds like the same deal that God gave Abraham concerning Sodom. It's the exact same deal. He said, if you can find one. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. I can't find nobody lost anymore. Can you find them? Only missionaries on the foreign field can find lost people, because there ain't none here. Well, in the South, anyway. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their face harder than a rock. They have refused to return. That describes what I preach to sometimes. People look at me like they could kill me. Good thing for me, I don't care. I'm this much closer to heaven. So if you decide to finish the trip for me, guess what happens? I get to go early. But you got to go through a God that created this universe to get that job done. Don't forget that. If God don't intend for you to go nowhere, you won't go anywhere. He said in verse 4, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. You can find people that say they're saved, but can you find people God changed? See, that's the difference. And he says in verse 5, I will get me into the great men. I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. So if the great men's been breaking the yoke and bursting the bonds, here's what God says, Lou. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them. Who's coming? The devil's coming. And a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. Spoil, take their stuff. That's a false prophet. But watch this one. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Now that's not who I'm going to hire for a babysitter right there. I'm not going to put him as the watchman over a city. He says, everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, either by that lion, that wolf, or that leopard, because their transgressions, plural, are many, and their backslidings, plural, are increased. Today I want to preach to you on reprobates are after you. Reprobates are after you. In this very book of Jeremiah, in chapter 30, he talks about reprobate silver shall men call you. That's silver that has been tested and found out it's not silver. It's just shiny. It's not real silver. And you go over to the New Testament, and you find people are reprobate-minded. It means their minds are disqualified. You've tested what they said and what they think, and it's not biblical. It's false. It's been proven false. So as we look at the reprobates are after you, it says in that verse there in verse 6, there a leopard shall watch over their cities. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at this. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord God, to understand the scriptures today according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, we pray, Lord, you'd fill me with your spirit today. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord is today without fear, favor, or compromise. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For us in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look at what a leopard shall watch over their cities, can I tell you that number one, when a leopard watches over your cities, we become prey. P-R-E-Y, prey, not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y, meaning the predator is after you. There's a lot of things that people don't understand about animals, and number one is this. Do not mess with wild animals. I've had people tell me that, listen, I read about this thing about a vacation here a while back in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee and Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and every one of them things said there may be bears. Do not approach them. No problem. I wasn't going to anyway. While you've been watching the movie with the panda with Jack Black doing the voiceover, I've been watching that other channel where that bear's ripping people apart, ripping deers apart and all that. I don't want to undo it him. I mean, that thing's a predator. But listen, somebody said, well, they'll be okay as long as you don't mess with their kids. They're a wild animal. If they're hungry, guess who's dinner? That's how they think. They're not like the cartoon bear.
Right here.
Now listen to this. And you want to talk about something scary? Thank God we ain't got these things piled up in the woods out there, these leopards.
Yeah.
This Bible says a leopard can't change its spots. You stick that thing in the zoo and he gets the first chance, he's going to eat the guy that feeds him. It's a matter of time. We were just shocked today to learn that this lion or this leopard or this tiger turned on its trainer. I'm not shocked at all. You can, listen, you can take a pig, you can take him out of pigsty, you can take a pressure washer, knock all that muck off of him, you can scrub him down and paint his toenails pink, put a ribbon around his neck, but first chance he gets, he's going right back to that mud every time.
Yeah.
This Bible said that pig will return to that wallow of his mire, and a leopard can't change his spots, and these folks that are telling you, oh, I'm saved just like you are, lied to you. I've heard people tell me over the years, well, you just don't know what you're talking about. Look over Jeremiah 13. Let's see if I know what I'm talking about or not. Jeremiah 13. Look down at verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Here's the verse right here. Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. How about that? Michael Jackson tried to prove that thing right there false. It didn't work. He tried to be a black man that grew up in Indiana and die a woman in Los Angeles, and it didn't work for him.
Right.
Neither does this transgender garbage work for these people. Just because you think you're a woman don't make you one.
Right.
Follow the science, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Follow the science. Well, guess what? There's still only two.
That's right.
Man and woman. Jesus Christ was against homosexuality. Matthew 19, he said, God made two, man and the woman.
Amen.
He's quoting Genesis chapter 1. And when we get to this stuff right here, it says, are the leopard his spots? Well, see, there's a thing about leopards. They're going to stay the same.
Yeah.
And the point here is to make you understand this. Then he says, may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. When you look at this statement in light of everything about a leopard changing his spots, that leopard's going to be a leopard, even if you shave him, make him look like something else, and dye his fur, it'll eventually grow back out, and his spots are still there.
Yep.
I've had people try to tell me over the years, well, you can tame an animal if you raise them in the... No, they've got a nature inside them. That nature's fallen because of Genesis chapter 3, and that thing has not changed since Genesis chapter 3.
Right.
Your nature has not changed since Genesis chapter 3. Do you get that? Well, I'm saved, preacher. I don't care how saved you are. Your flesh didn't change. That was the inside that changed, not the outside. That's why this body groans to the redemption of the body, because that hadn't happened yet. That's why there's a resurrection of the just, because that hadn't happened yet. Until Jesus Christ shows up and takes you to heaven with him, you are the same outside as you always have been. It's the inside that changes. When a person gets saved, listen, if they sin after they're saved, it's because they got the same flesh they had before they got saved. If they feel bad about it, it's because the Spirit's been born again, the Holy Spirit's inside.
Yeah.
That's the difference in that thing. We become prey because lost church members will show up, according to Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus gave that parable over there, and they'll grow as the tares amongst the wheat, and lost church members will wind up in sinful acts for one reason. That's what they love. And they'll drag you in there with them to do the very thing you're doing, they want to do. It'll appeal to your fallen nature, and you will become prey to these things. That leopard is waiting for you to stumble. He's waiting for you to make the wrong move so he can get you, and that's what they do. That leopard's waiting to hear you say a cuss word, because as soon as you say one, he's going to be all over you. He's waiting for you to gossip about the wrong person, because then they're going to be all over you and say, we don't like them either. They waiting for you to mess up and say something to them, or say something about their kids or grandkids, or even if you don't say it, if it's just perceived that you said it, the leopard's waiting for you, see. And the reprobate people that sit in churches outnumber the saved people like you would not believe. I've got friends over the years I've met and talked with them. They tell me how great their church is doing and all this other stuff, and they'll brag about how many they run and how many they baptized last year. And when we get to the simple questions of how things are going really inside their church, when there's nobody around to brag in front of, the situation turns dire. It turns to, oh my God, I don't think half these people in my church are saved. You run 200 or you run 3,000, you go look in them tithing records back there and find out 3% is only taking care of 3,000 people. There's something wrong there.
Right.
And listen, it's not that you didn't preach on it. It's that they couldn't do it if they wanted to, because they still got that lost nature inside of them. That spirit's still dead. They've never been born again. They're telling you they're saved because they like to get baptized and have a little bit of religion. And the next thing you know, you got a church full of lost people. And you know what? They after the church people.
Yeah.
There was a man that I was friends with, his son growing up. Great man. Loved him. He is as great a guy to be around as anybody. He loved hunting and fishing and preaching the Bible. You can't beat a guy like that.
Amen.
But yet there was a woman. She wasn't there to encourage him, if you understand. And that woman wasn't his wife. Last time I laid eyes on that man, he come back for a funeral, and I was preaching that funeral and saw him, and he had a tear roll down his face. He didn't have to say a word. I totally understand. What happened? A leopard comes sneaking up on him one day. Somebody who can't change their spot. Somebody that God didn't change, but yet they acting like something. And they was watching. They was watching till the right preacher come along and could go out and get them one. I went and preached at a church one morning. You'll never believe this, and I wouldn't believe it if they wouldn't have told me, and then somebody, two or three other people wouldn't have verified it for me. I watched an old woman come to that church on a walker. She had to be 80 years old stumbling that church, and this man come behind her helping her. I thought it was her son, and it was her boyfriend. And he told me, I've been looking for a preacher's wife to marry all my life, and I've got one. We get married. Will you do the wedding? I was like, sir, I don't even know your name. And I thought, thank God I'm only here this service.
Mercy.
If you want to marry my grandma, you better be grandma's age. I know that. That's crazy.
Yep. Come on.
Here not long ago, we went through the same thing with somebody, and I'm thinking, what is this about religion and these leopards? Do you understand me?
Amen.
They attracted to religion. They're reprobates, and they'll attack the things that are real inside that thing. And people are so desperate for attention nowadays, they'll let them.
Mm-hmm.
They even think bad attention is good attention. They said, well, it's attention, you know. Bad publicity is publicity, you know, that type of thinking. We become prey. Lost church members wind up in sinful acts, and they wind up in sinful crowds.
Yeah.
Do you know what's the craziest thing I ever heard? Somebody ever told me this since I've been pastor of this church. This is crazy. There was a guy who walked into a store back when they had these poker machines. Y'all remember poker machines? Before the government made them illegal and put their own gambling out there called the lottery.
Yeah.
Remember when they got these churches all stirred up? And as soon as they made it illegal, we got the South Carolina State Lottery coming your way. Wait a minute, I thought gambling was a sin 2 weeks ago. Now it's legal as long as it's government sanctioned. Yeah. We need to have a talk about that later. But I watched this thing unfold. But let's back up about 2 years before that. I had a man come in that called me one day and said, you know, when I visited your church a couple months ago, I told you there's hypocrites in your church. I said, yeah, and I knew that before you said it. What, no amens now? You think I'm talking about you? Y'all, none of y'all were here. Well, how about that? Huh? We talking 26 years ago this happened. I said, what's your point? He said, I'll have you to know that in the poker machine area of the convenience store, one of your men was in there last night playing the poker machine. I said, oh, do you have a name? Yeah, I'll tell you his name. I said, now let me ask you another question. Why was you in there? Just asking for a friend and whatnot.
Amen.
Why was you in there? Well, you thought the guy turned Pentecostal. He couldn't even talk in English after that. I said, sir, I said, let me ask you something. I said, you really didn't tell on this guy, but you just told on yourself. But you don't understand. I'm letting you know one of your men. I said, no, you're not telling about my guy. That guy's not a member here. He's never been a member here. He just showed up and visited the same day you did. What do you think about that? He said, oh, so he's not a deacon or nothing like that? A deacon? Where, do you think everybody's a deacon at this church or something? Well, I thought, and then he started all over again. I said, listen, I just want you to get your heart right with God and get S-A-V-E-D saved and quit being an R-A-T. Today's spelling lesson, boys and girls, saved rat. Okay? I seen some of you counting the letters trying to see if there's a biblical numerics thing in there. Rats. Listen to this. The time you would spend visiting church and telling the pastor everybody there's a hypocrite, and the time you'd spend saying all this stuff and wanting to imagine all this, you may be talking about somebody just like you. But I know who the leopard is now, don't I? We become prey to leopards. If a leopard's watching over a city, he's not looking for protection. He's looking for dinner. That's what he's looking for. We become prey. But then because there's a leopard watching over the thing, and then we let the leopard in and say, well, we're going to excuse all this and make you a member and baptize you and all this. We know you've got, listen, John the Baptist said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And nowadays they don't even talk about repentance or fruits. And they bring them on in and say, well, we got to have at least 3 men to be deacons or 7 men to be deacons or whatever they got on their bylaws. And we're going to make you a deacon and we're going to do this. Now, all of a sudden, not only we become prey, but we become predictable. Do you know the best way to catch something that's wild is watch its pattern? Okay? When we realize what the pattern is, we can catch them on the next go-around. There's a little-known fact about fishing, and fishermen don't like to tell you this because they like to lie so much, but I'm going to tell you, okay? Every 23 or 22 hours, there's a thing called a moon phase happens. Me and Brother Ben experienced this one time at a place. And if we told you where it is, you'd go down there and think you're going to catch fish, but you probably would catch nothing. We just had to show up the minute that feeding cycle started. We had to hide behind the tree to bait our hooks. It was that bad. That's trying to jump off the bank on the stringer, wasn't it? I'll never forget this. We couldn't get cast good. Bam, there he was. Bam, there he was. Large mouth. We held up. We both took a picture holding that stringer. That thing, I bet that thing weighed 20 pounds. Had what? 30 fish weighed 20. That's all a little bit, but we caught them. Let me tell you something. If we'd have wrote down that time and came back that next day, an hour before we got there, the same thing would have happened. And if we showed up the next day, 2 hours before the first day, that'd happen again. It's a cycle them fish go through. If you know their pattern, they become predictable and you can wear them out. But there is a catch. It's different for every body of water, so there's no way to predict it around the world for every body of water. So where'd you discover this? 2 places, experience and in writing. It was in Bassmaster magazine. How I missed that article for 10 years, I don't know, but when it finally happened, I went looking this thing up and thought, I could have been catching fish and marking this stuff down, kept notebooks and went fishing, but I just love to get out there and get in the quiet, so it don't really matter if I catch or not, right? Good day fishing better than a bad day at work type thing, right? Or bad day fishing better than a good day at work. That's what it's supposed to be. But you look at that thing and you say it's predictable. You and I in churches have become so predictable, lost people can watch the pattern and they'll catch you. They'll catch you unaware. The devil, the fake preachers, the false prophets, and these reprobate people will catch you because there's an absence of spiritual leaders. I remind you that they didn't take off their clothes, get naked, and blare rock and roll music and all that other stuff until Moses left the camp and the youth director, Aaron, was in charge. Yeah. There is this thing about these churches that when the leaders are gone, they go crazy. They go absolutely crazy. I remember visiting a church one time. The guy told me, said, come after your service is over. We're going to still be having church. I didn't know it was one of them goofy churches, all that stuff. I didn't know all that. I just got saved. I just learned how to tie, basically. I didn't know nothing. So I showed up down there, and they had the pulpit down there and the communion table up here. And I thought, what are they doing? And this woman was doing this up there, saying all kind of weird stuff. And these guys behind her was like this, doing this, you know, waiting on her phone. And I thought, man, this is quite a show. Then this 250-pound, 90-year-old woman's on the front row and goes, blonk, falls out completely on her back. And I heard her when she hit, and I thought, she's dead. And then I saw her checking her watch to see if it was time to get up or not. I noticed on the last day, men went off. She set up like the Undertaker does. She's laying there like she's like an awesome boom. You know, she comes straight up, and I thought, holy cow, these people's crazy. We become predictable. My first question to them people was after the service over, I said, where is your pastor at? They said, I thought so. I didn't think nobody would take a communion table and act like a fool on it like that. Are you listening to me? People get crazy about this. But see, listen, them reprobates says watching the pattern, and they snapped them up first chance they got. What that thing say over there about a leopard shall watch over their cities? He's watching. These reprobate people, they do that. They come out with evil associations. If you look over at 1 Kings chapter 11, look over at 1 Kings 11. They come out with these evil associations and try to say, we're all just trying to get along. We need to have peace on earth. You know, the Bible says peace on earth, but it don't say it just like that. There's something to it. Glory to God in the highest precedes peace on earth. Till you have that, you won't have peace. 1 Kings 11. There's a time of peace going on. Solomon's in charge. In verse 1, 1 Kings 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Now watch this. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, who wasn't a Jew, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, G-O-D-S's. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Now watch this. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. Evil associations will get you in a mess.
Right.
Can I let you in on a secret? Marrying wrong can get you out of the will of God.
Right.
Listen, I've watched these young preacher boys talk about, I'm praying for a wife. And the first snaggletooth hag it'll have anything to do with him, they think that's God's gift. Now, they had to find her in a bar and claim they winning her to the Lord, but there she is, you know.
Uh-oh.
Crazy stuff. And listen to this. Well, she don't like the Bible that much. Then what you going to do with her when you pastoring? What you going to do with her when she says, I ain't coming to Sunday school? You go ahead and talk through her teeth like that at you, or what's left of them. What you going to do, Christian, when when you go to your pastor and say, well, I want to marry him. He's Mr. Perfect. And I look at him and think, dear God, he needs to be sprayed, dipped, and wormed. Are you sure about this? Well, you're judging the outside. God only looks on the inside. Fair enough. And then what you going to do when he drinks all Saturday night and won't get up on Sunday morning and come to your church on Sunday morning?
Come on, yeah.
Oh, I'll pray him clean. You can't even pray him clean now.
Come on.
Once you yoked up, it's going to be too bad, too late, too sad.
Yep.
Evil associations.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Out of all my friends I got, all of them, none of my friends actively smoke marijuana, not one of them. You know why? Because we don't have that in common. That's why we ain't friends. None of my friends drank liquor. None of my friends are wine bibbers that I know of. None of this stuff. If I know it, we can't hang out.
That's right.
Because I might, we might go somewhere and sit down to eat, and you order Jack Daniels, and I have to get up and leave the table because I'm not going to sit there while you do it.
That's right. Anybody?
Listen to me. Evil associations will turn your heart away from God.
Yep.
You'll be talking about Jesus Christ. You love the Lord one day, and the next thing, you know, 2 weeks later, you're in a ditch somewhere. How'd you get there? Wrong people.
That's right.
And by the way, it wasn't their fault. It's yours.
Right.
Just so you'll understand that. Worldly success will do that. Look at 2 Chronicles 25. 2 Chronicles 25. Worldly success will turn your heart that way. And the leopard's all over the top of you the whole time. He's waiting for it to happen. We've got a situation over here, 2 Chronicles 25. It says 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1, Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. You go down to verse 14 here. Verse 14, now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come down from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods. And he bowed himself before them and burned incense unto them. You know what got him like this? He started off in the right direction, but not with a perfect heart. And then when he got to be fully in charge, he just went right away from God. There's a problem people have when they grow up, and especially us, like us, when we grow up poor, you know what happens to us? We get a job. And then you know what we do? We realize that after about 3 or 4 years, we can get another job that pays more than that job. And the next thing you know, we're so full of pride, we're strutting while we're sitting down. And then one day somebody says, if you go to college, you can get a big job making big money and you buy everything you want. You know what we do? Go right to it. We go get that worldly success. Do you know what was cool back when I was coming along, 17, 18, I was trying to get to school? Computers. Imagine that. But you know what was paying more than that back then? You ever seen the guys out there on that highway? They have a little telescope, another guy that's making minimum wage holding a stick. When I was 17 years old, that guy that was looking through the thing made $25 an hour. Wonder what he makes now. They're called a surveyor. If you're going to buy property, you got to pay him to come out and tell you where it's located.
Yep.
And you know how much he makes to do that? The same thing he makes everywhere else. You've got to pay that guy. But there is a catch. If he don't do his job, you can't buy nothing. It's like a locked-in deal. I'll run you one better. You want to go into something, you're tired of all these layoffs in China and blah, 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 and the Democrats, open you a funeral home. They, to my knowledge, unless they mismanage the money, there's never been a layoff from lack of participation in the funeral home business. To my knowledge now. You can mismanage the thing, whatever. And you know how much the average funeral costs now? Average is $8,000 per clip. Now you know why them guys smile all the time.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to tell me they didn't like Mr. Blakely up there. Said he made so much money. I said, so? Why can't I not like him because of that?
Yeah.
If I'd have thought of it, I'd have done it before he did.
Yeah.
Now imagine this. You go to making these successes like that, and then they look at you and say, we're going to need you to work Sunday. Yet you do. That's what happens. When you go to a place that runs on Sunday and they tell you, just because you're a Christian, we're not going to make you do it, they will. Just give them time. You go to a place that's open on Wednesday night, give them maybe 2 months. And they're going to say it's mandatory that everybody be here Wednesday night.
Yep.
You know why? They think you're a fake already. They're the guy sitting up in the tree watching the city, and they're watching you, and they know you're fake. They've been watching you around the water cooler tell dirty jokes. They've been watching you out there trying to slip off and do all this stuff, slip out early, slip in late and all that, and they know you're phony, and they're after you. They're after you. You become predictable like that. Look over at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We become prey, we become predictable. Here's where it's going to get interesting. Luke chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 8. He's given the parable of the sower here in Luke chapter 8. And down at verse 13, he's going to deal with that one that's called the, what you'd basically call them, the people that fell upon the rock up in verse 6. Verse 13 says, they on the rock, talking about the seed, are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. What happens to people? How do they become prey? Their shallowness is revealed in them. You'll notice this thing don't have no root. Why? It's only going this far. See, for a seed to take, it's got to go down there and take. It's got to grab hold to the nourishment and all that, but if it's just hitting a rock, it's only going to go so far. When I was a kid, they one of our science classes in grammar school, they did this thing where we had these pie pans. You got them from your mother, your grandmother, whatever, your little tin pie pans, and you'd put a paper towel down there and you'd have it soaked in water but just damp, and you'd put these orange seeds on them. Do you know what happened within a... How many times it's been when we have people come into church, they say, boy, preach it. Boy, you telling that sodomite crowd, you telling that reprobate crowd, you telling that worldly crowd, but when I tell your crowd, you're gone. And what usually happens? That leopard comes up with just a little temptation and pulls you right out. So what's he trying to do? Get you alone where he can attack you and kill you? That's what leopards do. Do you know that leopards are not about to jump into an army of armed men that have weapons? They're not about to jump into a herd of elephants that's got those tusks. They're not going to go, but they could schedule and be there to eat. Amen. Smile, God loves you, but you don't love him back. Why? He said it's the spirit that quickeneth and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you. I mean, the very thing he said that profited was the words of God, that the spirits inside them words. But what are people running from? Those words. They don't have nothing to do with preaching in the Bible and all that. They can't stand it. They hate it, and they hate people that do it. When Joseph was going down into Egypt, listen, Pharaoh told Joseph, tell his brothers, don't tell them you're shepherds, because Egyptians hate shepherds. Egypt's a type of the world, that shepherd's a type of the man of God, and they still the same way. The world hates preachers. Now, they love fake preachers where they make fun of them and everything like that and say, y'all all like that, but we ain't all like that. When I mentioned Christian television a while ago, I don't turn on Christian television and Christian channels. I don't want to see some fake charismatic TV host interviewing a Baptist preacher about anything. I could care less about them, and I don't want to go on one neither. I politely decline. I ain't got no business with them. They got no business with me. I was told this, if they don't interview you on live TV as a preacher, you better turn them down right there on the spot, or they're going to edit out everything and make you look like whatever they want for the story.
Yep.
I said, live TV? What? And that's what happens. I look at this thing about the lack of spiritual insight. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15, for some are already turned aside after Satan. He's talking about church people. What got to them? That leopard was watching, found out the predictability, made them pray, and went after them for the very fact they didn't see what was coming next. There are situations in this life that if you have any kind of discernment of spiritual things and you stay in the scriptures, you study the Bible and you watch, you let God teach you things, you will see some things that you wouldn't have saw last year. Why? Because you're growing in the Lord and you got some kind of discernment that helps you see things. If somebody comes along and knocks on my door and they want to sell me something that seems too good to be true, Well, I'm kind of 52 years old now. I've heard this before. It's just about a different product back then. I was around when they wanted to make payments on vacuum cleaners. Does it work? Sure it does. Is it worth that? It's not worth that. I'm old enough to remember the first time I heard these words, and I was 20-something years old, maybe late teens. I was on my way to a restaurant, and they didn't buy all this meat, and I can sell it to you at a low, low price. That thing's called the meat truck. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, when only one guy was doing it, that was one thing. Now they got hundreds of them out there. I'm wondering, y'all need to be back on the road. These restaurants really need your help. Now, they're out of everything. Are y'all buying all the stuff off these guys? Wait a minute, them guys ain't selling to restaurants. They're selling to people. So how do you know? Well, I seen an ad one day in a paper when I was 22 and I was out of a job. I thought, I'm going to go look at this job. This sounds easy. Make hundreds of dollars a day. 1988, hundreds of dollars a day. No education required. I thought, I'm in. You ain't got to go to college. You make $100 a day. So I called them. I said, is this anything you got to do me dressed up like Little Bo Peep? They said, no, I said, I'll see you in 30 minutes. I go in there. There's 30 people in this little classroom. And a guy gets up and he wheels in this freezer. He said, what I have in here is like gold. The deal is, you pay him to lease the truck, and you buy the meat from him, then you go sell it. And he told you exactly how to lie to people at the door, and you could get hundreds of dollars a day. Gosh, that sounds like a good deal now, don't it? But there is a catch. You got to lie to get it. You got to outright lie to do it. And who cares what that meat is? It's probably dog processing to taste like chicken. Who knows? But there is a catch. If your conscience can sleep with it at night, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
What was somebody doing? Watching for that predictability. People love money. They want something for nothing. And he's got you. You become prey.
Yep.
What? Listen. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you become predictable, guess what happens? You get in a mess with God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is winding down his life. He tells Timothy one of the most important statements any young preacher needs to know. He said, preach the word, be it in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine on down the line. But he gets down to verse 10 and says, one guy left him. Now, I want you to notice what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Did you see this thing said, Demas hath forsaken me? It never said he left the ministry or left church. What happened to him? He had such a love of this world that when he left Paul, Paul told him, don't do that, because if you go there, it's not going to work out like you think. And it said he departed unto Thessalonica. Now, while you and I read 1 Thessalonians and we say, man, that's the model, that's how you build the model church and so forth like that. They had a love of God and a love of the truth and so forth. Do you realize that crowd was so messed up on the end times Paul had to instruct them twice about it? Isn't that something? They had a church that was willing to have prayer. They had the power of God, but they were messed up on the end times. Guess who's coming to be their pastor? The guy that just walked off from the guy that could have helped him more than anybody else in that situation. Why did he leave? Was it because he knew the will of God and the old man didn't? Nope. It's because he loved this present world. You'll find people departing the things of God and heading off into the world, and they love this world more than they love God. They love everything but God nowadays, and they're going to head off into it and head straight long into a mess, and it don't matter how many times you tell them. Demas hath forsaken me. Do you realize that there are people in your life you try to help, and you can't help them? Why? Because God can't help them people. But you think you're better than God and you can help them. Guess where you headed? You headed right behind Demas. You're going to waste all your resources trying to do something that ain't going to happen, and it's going to wear you out. Who's watching that? That leopard's watching that. He's waiting to pounce. See, the whole thing about this whole series of messages has been they are after you. I've told you every strategy they have. I've told you who they are. But if you go back to Jeremiah 5 one last time, I want to show you what you missed. He said the cause of this thing was back in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 5. I will get me into the great men. There's the problem. It says, and I will speak unto them. There's the problem. For they have known the way of the Lord. Yeah, they did. But they've lost their way, because it says, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. You're going to Demas for spiritual advice, basically. And then he warns that a lion out of the forest, a wolf of the evenings, and a leopard shall watch over their cities there. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. I want to give you this invitation today. Why not return to the God that loves you and forsake all those transgressions and forsake all that backsliding and get back to Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you? When nobody loved you, he loved you and died on the cross for your sins. When nobody would have forgiven you, he forgave you.
Amen.
That Jesus. Not the Jesus of your mind, not the Jesus of the tobacco can or none of them crowds. We're talking about the biblical, holy Son of God that loved you, gave himself for you, and will take you back on a moment's notice. I think a lot of people today have forgot this. They are after you. They are not quitting. They're not sleeping. They're after you. This Bible's filled with warnings about this. Don't become a statistic and another victim to this sin. Get yourself right with God while you've got the chance. We may live another 1,000 years on this planet, but you may not live another week. See, it's a serious thing. Our breath, my doctor told me this week, and I've never heard him say this. He said, what I have right now is a breath in my body. When I exhale it, he said, that's what I just did. He said, but what I inhale is a gift from God that I'm going to live another second.
Yeah.
You don't hear doctors talk like that. I said, you looking to die, doc? He said, no, I'm looking to live, but just in case, I'm ready to go. But I'm realizing who's responsible for all this. Most of the time, them guys think they're God. This guy's saying it's a gift of God just to breathe. So you're taking up smoking? You haven't shut? No, never smoked in my life. I'm just saying, if you breathe in, God give you that. I thought, man, I know some people need to hear what you just said. Since you can't be there, I'll tell them. Come back while you got a chance. Don't ruin this opportunity. Don't put it off another second. Don't put it off another week, another month, another day, another year. Right now, while you got the time. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.